even when it is for the sake of history, there is something a little creepy about reading somebody else's love letters. And by creepy, I mean awesome.
So this is the guy who was writing to his girlfriend, Emma.
Emma, my yes. darling Emma. Remember what I said in my last letter about kissing red cheeks? I felt as good as it could be. Oh my goodness.
Yes, they're really
Send
steamy.
Send the picture. Underlined.
This is Ed Bush. He's an archivist at Michigan State University. And we're sitting in this totally silent, fluorescent-lit basement, essentially exactly what you would think of when I say Civil War Letters Archive. But Ed realized that Michigan State University had gotten all of these collections of Civil War letters over the years. And he thought, well, this is a shame that nobody's even looking at this. So he and a handful of grad students and some very patient volunteers transcribed 3,000 of these letters, and they've put them all online in this website that's easy to search, and it is catnip for historians, teachers, and of course, family genealogists.
You get the sense of a connectedness, and you get the sense of personal history when you read the letters.
Diane Tishner is one of those amateur family historians, and she used the MSU archive to track down letters from her first cousin four times removed, a Union soldier with the fantastic name of Irenas McGowan. And this is what is interesting and different about this archive. These are not letters from major generals, people who might have known that their letters would be saved and read by future generations. These are just people from Michigan. So I rallied the Michigan Radio Ken Burns Theatrical Company to read you a couple of these letters. Let's get the music here. All right. This is a letter from Deb Payne. Her husband is at war. She's staying in Missouri, which is a border state at that time, and she's having to constantly protect herself from robbery and rape.
I go to bed at night, but not without some deadly weapon by my bed. I keep a hatchet and two revolvers that my husband has sent me. One night, I was awakened by someone saying, "Are you asleep?" I gave the alarm, but when folks got to my room, there was no one to be found.
And then, of course, there are the letters that get into slavery and race. And these are always prickly to read, but they are especially so when these could be the great-great-great-granddads of somebody down the street from you. Or it could even be one of your family members. This one is from Thomas Davis. He's a Union soldier writing to his Michigan family from Tennessee.
Dear sister, I do not approve of sending Negroes north into the free states, and I do not think there will be much of it done. I would almost give my existence to see every nigger removed from the face of the American continent.
Some of these letters let you follow people for months, even years of their lives. You see who dies, who's born, who's in love with who. And for Ed Bush, the archivist, that is what hooks him. He says he has to know what happens to these people. For example, the Romeo from the beginning of the story, the guy who was writing all these steamy love letters to his fiancée, Emma, they don't have a happy ending.
I know you are a good girl, too good for me.
Oh, no.
Why does he do it?
Well, I had to do some more research on it because I had to know what happened. And I found out he had met someone down in Tennessee where he was stationed.
Well, poor Emma went on to die in her early 40s, while her ex goes on to be a very successful politician. In East Lansing, I'm Kate Wells, Michigan Radio News.